Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
I just want to preach a little bit on Isaiah 53. Next Sunday morning, I'm going to preach on the prophecies of Christmas. And I know it'll be a blessing to you. And I'm telling you ahead of time, bring your ink pen, bring your Bible, and take good notes. The prophecies of Christmas. That's this next week. This morning, I want to read what the prophet Isaiah said in the 53rd chapter. Let's all stand together out of respect for God's word. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. We didn't understand. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one unto his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death. Because he hath done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed and shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. For by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. God, we come to you this morning and we understand this is speaking of the Messiah. This is speaking of Jesus, and the world doesn't understand him. And they think he's kind of a cotton candy kind of religion. They just go along with all the other religions of the world. Jesus, we that are people of God, we that have been blood-bought and born again, may we see not only how much you love us, but the great price you paid for us. And God, may we understand that what is written by the prophet so long ago, it came to pass. And may all of us here this morning understand, young and old, we have a great Savior, a great God, of whom we are not worthy. This world is not worthy. And God, if there's someone here that is not born again, we pray that today they'd hear Jesus, they'd hear the gospel, and God, they'd be born again. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This is the single greatest time of year, as far as I'm concerned. There's so much about Christmas I like. I am not anti-Christmas. I don't want you to see that or hear that in anything in my voice. I believe this is a precious time where we celebrate the incarnation, and we are given a platform to talk to everybody and anybody about Jesus Christ. Everybody has Christmas memories. Everybody has things from their past. And the fact is, if they have been Christless Christmases in the past, they all ring empty. They all ring hollow. And they're still searching for truth. And we get to tell them that he has come, that the Savior is come. 740 years ago, the prophet Isaiah wrote Isaiah and chapter 53. And in this passage, there's prophecies, to be sure, that have come to pass, and some that will yet come to pass. But there's also, it's all about Jesus. It's all about our Savior. Next Sunday morning, I'm going to try to elaborate on that just a little bit. But if we could together just look at Isaiah 53, and I'm not going to spend an equal amount of time on each of the verses. So if I get bogged down a little bit, don't worry. I'm going to get done in time for the radio broadcast to fit in that 30-minute slot. But you just follow along with me, please, and ask God to do and speak to your heart in the way that He wants to speak. Isaiah 53 is probably the greatest messianic prophecies recorded in the Word of God. Isaiah 53 has some of the most graphic messianic prophecies, details about the crucifixion that aren't even included in the New Testament. It gives us all kinds of background. There's big doctrine in Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, in his writings. There's big doctrine about Jesus in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah in chapter 53 tells us much about him. Let's just read on here just a little bit. It says, I don't have a great outline. I got a little outline to kind of keep my mind straight, and I need that. But we're just going to go verse by verse through this. And I trust now, if you just listen up, straighten your Bible out, straighten the pages of the leaves of your Bible, the pages of your Bible out, and straighten your back up just a little bit and lift up your head and follow along. It says, who hath believed our report? The we and the our is speaking of Israel here. And it is spoken in the perfect and in the present tense. In other words, the prophet Isaiah, it's like he's in the millennial kingdom or sometime in that period of time, and he's looking back at what Jesus did. That's how this passage is coming together here. It's like, now this is before Calvary, but it's like he's looking back. He's a born again Jew, just like much of the early church was, and he's looking back, and he's looking at the Redeemer and the great price that was paid for his sin. And understand this. He says, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Mankind rejected Jesus as the Messiah. Israel rejected Jesus as the Messiah. Take your Bibles and turn to John in chapter 1. Gospel of John and chapter 1. And I'm not going to get bogged down in this, but I do want to read it. As a nation, the nation Israel has rejected Jesus as the Messiah. I am not anti-Semitic. I believe Genesis in chapter 12. And God made some promises to the seed of Abraham, and that's the Jewish people, the nation Israel. He said, I will bless them that bless you, and I will curse them that curse you. And if America ever starts siding with the Palestinians and the Muslim world, and listen, no matter what the Muslims say, they will never drive Israel into the sea. They will never obliterate them as a people. They are people of prophecy. But the nation has rejected Jesus as the Messiah. By the way, rabbis, They ignore Isaiah 53. They run from Isaiah 53. And as a nation, but I just want to say this, I am not anti-Semitic, just the opposite. In fact, the Raider name, we have found out, is a Jewish name. I'm not anti-Semitic at all. I love the Jews, and God bless them, and God help more of them to get born again. It says in verse 6, though, of chapter 1, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, talking about John the Baptist, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. This is Jesus. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, that's the Jews, and his own received him not. And then it says, but as many as receive him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name. So the nation Israel rejected Christ. That's why the prophet Isaiah, even before Jesus came, says in Isaiah 53 and verse 1, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And by the way, if anybody should have believed the report, it ought to have been the Jewish nation. It was they were entrusted with the oracles of God. They were the ones that were led by God through the wilderness and into the land of Canaan. They are the seed of Abraham. They should have been looking for the Messiah somewhere. You know, some did get born again. Many got born again. Much of the first century church were Jewish people. The church of Jerusalem was just booming. You've been coming on Sunday night. You have heard a lot about that. The wise men that were searching for him. People were looking for truth. Verse 2 says, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant." When Jesus came, Christmas season, he came as a baby, not as a conqueror. I've been rehearsing some of the reading concerning the time of Jesus' birth and the stable and the stall where he was probably born. And it likely was a cave. And it wasn't pretty. And I could see Joseph sweeping aside some of the straw and kind of putting some garments down, because they were traveling, put some garments down in the straw as Mary was getting ready to be delivered. Israel was looking for a king. Israel was looking for a deliverer. But he came in the form of a baby to redeem mankind. Not to crush Rome, but to redeem mankind. I will say this, next time he comes, he's coming as king. "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground." There was spiritual dryness everywhere. Looking back, you could see that. "He hath no form nor comeliness, no glory, no majesty, no pomp and circumstance. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." Verse 3 says, "He was despised." I already read John chapter 1. "And rejected." The Romans spit on him, if you remember. And the nation Israel shouted, "Crucify him." "He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows." I often think of Jesus laughing and the joy and the fellowship he had with his Father. But you understand that 33 years of incarnation, he knew why he was here. That's why he is referred to as a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Throughout his ministry, man of sorrows, despised, grief, rejected. Hey, maybe that's where you're at right now in your life. Here's what I want to tell you this morning. God understands. Jesus experienced more grief and more sorrow and more pain than you will ever experience. Go to Hebrews in chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, if you would, quickly. Fourth chapter. I tell you to turn there quickly, and I can't get my pages turned this morning. Bear with me. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." I probably won't wax eloquent on this morning. Seldom do I wax eloquent. But you understand, the 33 years that Jesus lived on this earth, he experienced life in a fallen world, yet without sin. He experienced what you have had to experience. Times 100 to the 10th power and far beyond. Every temptation you have ever experienced, Jesus knew that temptation. But yet without sin. Never did no sin. That's what the Word of God says. So he does understand. We have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. So he says, you hang on. You stay faithful for God. Verse 15, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." You see, he completely understands. He knows. He understands what you're experiencing right now in life. He may even understand, but now listen, you might be all confused and you're listening to the wrong people and you got all kinds of bad advice being given to you, and maybe you're running off to the world and you're thinking that's going to be something, that's going to be satisfying, and it's not. It's not. Go back to Isaiah 53 again. He was despised. He was rejected of men, a man of sorrows, verse 3, and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. Total rejection. He was despised and we esteemed him not. He was on the cross when he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Even though he was known, and one of his titles was a man of sorrows, He's carrying the weight of the world on his shoulders. When he hung on the cross, your sin was on his body. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Would you go over there? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You know how much God loves you? Jesus lived for 33 years and he beat back all the temptations and he beat back all of the allurements of the world and he was willing. He was a man on a mission, a God man on a mission. He knew he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And every time the devil, and you know the devil would come at him and wave after wave after wave, and he stood tall. He spent time with his father and much time in prayer with his father, but he stood tall and he never did any sin. There was complete holiness. And when he was hanging on the cross after taking the beatings, after the beard being pulled from his face, after being nailed to that old rugged cross, and he was hanging there on the cross, suspended between earth and heaven, he experienced the most bitter hours of all. He became sin. Think of your most wicked sin. Think of the most wicked, vile, corrupt sin on earth. It was put on Jesus when he was on the cross. He knew that was coming. Man of sorrows. That's why he prayed in the garden, God, if it be thy will, take this cup from me. I don't want to die. I don't want to hang on the cross. I don't want to bear the sins of the world, but he was willing. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Go back again to Isaiah in chapter 53. I'm lightly reading over this. Surely he hath borne our griefs. He bore them and carried our sorrows, our pain. He carried them. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. We thought God was punishing him. People of the world, and the we there, he's referring to Israel. We thought he was receiving justice. We thought God was punishing a sinner hanging on the cross between two thieves. We did not understand, talking about the Jewish people, that he was the very only begotten Son of God, that he was the only sinless man that ever lived on this earth, that he was holiness personified, and all the sins of mankind were placed on the Lamb of God, on his body. And in Hebrews chapter 10 tells us that Jesus prays, God, thank you for giving me a body that I might bear the sins of the world. That's why Jesus came. We completely misunderstood what was going on. Verse 6 says, then all we like sheep. And isn't it ironic, and speaking of the Jewish people, that 2,000 years later, we that are not the people of God understand the gospel. We who are not a people are now a people. Now a holy nation. Talking about Gentile peoples coming to Christ. Isaiah writes this in prophecy. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. That's the opposite of God's way. His own way. How many people I've talked to over the years, well, I'm just going to follow my heart. Man, you are foolish. That is so wrong. Because the heart is desperately wicked. The heart is vile. If I were to follow my heart, I'm a man of the world. I need to follow God. Everybody celebrates. Isn't it amazing how many people celebrate the birth of Christ but are not willing to keep his precepts? It's amazing how many will keep a holiday but not the commandments. And Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Everything else is just kind of froth. All we like sheep have gone astray. There are some that sin in unawareness or ignorance. There are others that sin willfully in rebellion. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, on Jesus, the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. And he was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? for he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. If you look at some of the things that happened to Christ in this passage, I'm not through reading them yet, but griefs, sorrows, wounded, bruised, chastised, whipped, oppressed, afflicted, imprisoned, stricken, and killed. And he made his grave with the wicked. He was crucified between two thieves. He who knew no sin. Crucifixion was extreme capital punishment. It was the worst punishment the Roman mind could think up. A man hanging by nails for hours. It was shame. A name in a police report, you think that's shame? It was shame. The Son of God hung in nakedness before the whole world. He didn't do anything wrong. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich. Remember Joseph? Remember the tomb? And with the rich in his death. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Verse 10 is a wonderful but yet strange verse. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. 740 years before Christ, it was prophesied he would hang between two thieves, transgressors, that he would be buried in a rich man's tomb. And then, of course, that he would rise again. He took his sin on our sin on his body. He knew no sin. Took our sin on his body when he hung on the cross. And God was pleased, not in seeing his son suffer. He was pleased with the offering. It's the only thing that would have made propitiation for the sin of Tim Rader. I could light candles from now until the cows come home. That doesn't take no sin away. No way. I could have people pray for me and without the blood, pray for me. It goes nowhere. It's just religious activity. I could get baptized every week of my life and that doesn't wash away sin. I could do all the good works that I could muster up, but I'm still a sinner man. And in my heart, that's who I am. It took the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, to die in my place. And God looked down from heaven after turning his back on his son. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, turns his back on his son because he could not look at the sin of the world on his only begotten son. He rose him. He rose him up on the third day. Jesus got up from the grave on the third day. God was pleased. And God said, that's enough. No more Calvary. No more offering for sin. Never again will the blood of a bull be shed on the altar, or a goat, or pigeon doves, or turtle doves, or pigeons, or anything. Never again. None of that has to be done. None of that religious phony baloney. Jesus Christ offered himself once, rose again on the third day, and then he ascended on up into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. If you know the book of Hebrews, you know that's what it's all about. That Jesus is enough. God the Father looked down and he was pleased with his son and the propitiation that was made for my sin and for your sin. You know what the word propitiation means? It's a Bible word. Settled. The account is settled. I can't add to that. I can't do something to gain merit with God. That's not how it works. It was settled. When Jesus hung on the cross, God the Father looked down and said, that will cover the sins of every person in every generation of mankind as long as the earth shall last. It's all settled if they'll just repent and come to the Savior. That's all they got to do. That's what the gospel is. And if you're here today and you're not born again, and you understand that Jesus died for you, and you're kind of mixing that with doing some good works, thinking maybe that'll get you to heaven, you need to understand it's settled. Propitiation has been made for your sin and for my sin. And what we got to do is we just got to come to Christ. Just repent, and we're born into the family of God. Look at verse 12. Isaiah 53, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. God has blessed. The future is big, all because of 2,000 years ago on a hill called Mount Calvary. Listen to this. The very Son of God died in our place. He shed his blood that we might have forgiveness of sins. You got to hear this. You're not going to heaven because you go to Fundamental Baptist Church. You're never going to go to heaven because you're a Baptist. You won't go to heaven because of any kind of religion. If you go to heaven, it's because of the Son of God that is prophesied in Isaiah 53. You understand, quit being full of yourself and understand all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone unto his own way. But the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. We had to have a Savior. His name is Jesus. Man, we got to tell people about that. You've been living your life and everybody in your world, there are people that have entered into your world. They've become part of your world. Maybe you've gotten to know them recently. Maybe you've known them for a long time. You see them quite often. You communicate. You reach out and you talk to them. You touch them. You're touching their life. They're touching your life. And you've not told them about your Savior? Shame on you. You've not told them how they can be born again? They're going to go to hell. And you're too proud to talk to them about Jesus? This is a great time of year to do it. Man, go after them. And maybe you work right next to them. Maybe they're a relative. Maybe it's someone you see quite often. Maybe you reach out to them on Facebook or some, you know, but you've never, because it's not cool to talk about Christ. Not the Jesus of the Bible. You know, that's where it gets a little nitty-gritty. It gets a little touchy. After all Christ has done for us, Isaiah 53, it's just one chapter out of the Word of God. And there's so many messianic promises here. And right, I understand this again. So the prophet Isaiah, I'm through, but let me summarize. The prophet Isaiah is writing from the perspective of the future. That's what prophecy is. So he's out here, perhaps in the millennial kingdom, and he's looking back and saying in verse 1, why didn't they understand? Why didn't they believe our report? Why is it as a nation we've rejected him when he fulfilled all of these messianic prophecies? Why is it we didn't understand the great price that was paid for our sin? We're so religious and so proud in our religion, we forgot that all we like sheep have gone astray and turned everyone unto his own way. God the Father, when his only begotten Son was smitten and bruised and wounded and bled and buried and rose again and is alive, and the church is born, and we who are not a people are now a people. We're counted with the saints of God because of the blood of Christ. God the Father looked down, seeing the future. I didn't get into all that. Seeing the future, looked at his only begotten Son, and it pleased him. It hurt, but it pleased him because he made a way for all sinners to go to heaven.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.